Okay.
You got to hear me? Yeah. RNA drops are biological cold fusion, and the idea of Nick Entropy, more coming out than is put in. And he said, no, no, no. So what would be the correction?
Well, you're not putting anything in.
Ah, no new energy is going in with the RNA drops.
Right.
Good, that's a good point. You hear that, Cal? No energy involved when you take the RNA drops. Point one, we've learned something.
What does that mean?
There's no energy added to the body by RNA drops. There's no energy in it that is distributed through the body.
No, but it makes your body more perfect so that you have energy.
No, we're going to find out what it means.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ion, what's going on if there's not more energy being given?
Okay, it's not energy.
I know, it's not energy. So what is it? Now, you say the phrase new information, but...
Okay, well, no, we won't say new information. It is what the body uses to more perfectly replicate cells. It would be more like instead of...
What the body uses to more... See, what's the word what refers to? It, RNA is what the body uses to replicate cells. So the body uses insulinose. The body uses insulinose to replicate cells.
Yeah.
Now,
it uses insulinose to give new information to the cells so that they... So, okay, do you know what...
No, we got to stay with that statement. The body... I'm working with that one. The body uses... I've lost it, but the body uses... You remember the statement, Carolyn? The body uses something.
The RNA to give new information to the cells?
No. The first sentence was really good. The body uses itself better. So let's start over again,
okay,
Ion.
Do you know, okay, RNA is like a floor plan or blueprint instruction of how you want the house set up. It's not gasoline to make the body have energy to... sustain itself. It's the blueprint. It's showing what the cells in the body should look like. And when you set it up the way it's what it should look like, you gain more energy. You have more energy because you are optimizing the part of the meat sack body that you've already got.
Mm-hmm. The optimizing part of the meat sack body already got. No, is what you already got. This is not saying got way more non-physical than physical. Not that idea.
No,
but what
it's
you
the
got.
Idea that you, it's the idea that you're already got. You just won't.
That's what you meant by that. No, the got. See, we're going with that phrase. It's but the body already got. And what is it that the body already got?
Perfect cells.
All right, so we got perfect cells. What does RNA do?
Reminds the cells to replicate perfectly.
It gives them the design of how to do it. The cells forget how to replicate perfect cells.
Well,
and then they're reminded by the blueprint. Let's keep it simple. Right. That's what it is, right? They're reminded by the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they use the blueprint to... increase production of perfect cells, not just cells.
So you've got a bunch of, you got three perfect cells maybe in your body, take RNA drops, then you start increasing the number of perfect cells. Because the new cells that are replicated from that point on are perfect.
Right.
So back your blueprint.
You're going to start having less and less and less patience with the less than ones. Because
who is?
The less we are.
Well, who are the? Is that, that's like me not having patience with these people in the rewrite. They don't have any questions. They just sit passively and listen.
No. That's fine. No, it's those that say, you don't get it. We're really sick. We need this stuff to work. You need to tell us what's in it. You need to do this. You need to do that. Because we don't feel good, and we don't look good, and we're dying, and it's your fault, and you're not helping us, and we should report you, and we're going to get less and less and less easy with those.
Yeah, as an example, will the cosmic awareness, this awareness indicates guy, Will Berlinger, you said that they take the blue RNA drops, remind the RNA that's already in your body.
The cells.
They show
the cells the perfect blueprint. I've been saying that to people for years.
Yep.
What? What were you saying that to, Carolyn?
Anybody that needs
I tell anybody that will listen. They're dying. They say their life is over. And I said, look, you have perfect cellular DNA. We just have to give you the right building blocks, and you'll start making perfect cells again. I've been saying that. You've heard me.
So Ion has given you new building blocks. But see what, technically, there's RNA in the body. The drops are not RNA. The drops are insulin. The drops are RNA. Relax and allow, or ribonucleic acid? Are they ribonucleic acid?
Look at it.
What do you mean, look at it?
Insulin O's.
Are they RNA?
Yes.
You think they're RNA, Carolyn?
R, small n, large n.
Yeah, I know. I don't mean that. I call that. That's why I'm saying ribonucleic acid. Are they ribonucleic acid? Is there that in the drops?
Ion. For the fourth time, yes.
So what do you think of that, Carolyn? How could RNA be in the drops?
Well, you get a brown cow, and that's how.
Not a lot of
that's how. Oh, yeah. is there RNA drops? Yes. So what? How could that be?
How? Huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, how? That's the question. How could it could be? That's the question. How could it be? That's the question. Is there RNA in everything, Carolyn, in any cell? And insulin is made up of cells?
What are you talking about, Bob? It's ridiculous.
I'm talking, yeah. Wait, no, that's a good question. Are there cells in insulinos?
Human cells? No.
Are there any kind of cells?
Yes.
What are those cells made up of?
RNA.
And DNA and chromosome 14.
Not in RNA.
So the RNA is a cell ion? RNA is a cell.
RNA drops contain cells, but not human cells.
What kind of cells do they contain if they're not human?
Eye cells.
Eye cells.
See, there's eye cells in that?
Mm-hmm.
There's eye.
What?
Yes, most of them, yes.
That's the magic stuff. That's the God particle. So what does the eye cell tell the RNA in the body?
To straighten up or get the fuck out.
Are there cells, there's eye cells in the RNA drops. So the RNA drops are made up of eye cells. Is the eye cell the content of an RNA something, whatever you want, a molecule, atom, element?
No, something.
What do you think an RNA is, Carolyn? It's a mixture of acids?
Ribonucleic acid.
Right. Is that cells? Is that made up of cells or molecules?
Molecules of chemical.
What do you think, Ion? Is it made up of molecules, ribonucleic, mm-hmm. or cells?
Yes, and what are molecules made into? Cells.
Molecules are
whole cells in the drops.
There's what?
Whole cells in the drops.
So molecules are smaller than cells, Carolyn. Would you say?
Yeah.
So there are molecules in the cells. So what is the cells? What are the RNA? You were starting to say something there. Whole or something. Whole. They're whole ion? They're whole what? Whole molecules?
They're real whole cells, Bob.
Okay, so you've got better RNA cells in the RNA drops, and they replace the RNA in the body?
We don't like better. Let's say complete.
Complete. Do they replace the RNA in the body or just get the RNA in the body?
No, no. It gives new information to the
body. To the old RNA.
No, to the old DNA.
And it does that by the RNA taking some information from the drops. So you got the RNA already in my body. Do the RNA drops, our new RNA, do they replace the old RNA in my body? Do they just...
If you have a lipid system, but we are having a time with that. But when you decide you have a lipid system, that's how it's communicated.
So it's not... Carolyn found it very useful to call it RNA drops biological cold fusion. She found that enlightening.
And that would be wonderful if you understood it the way we are describing it. But if you get what you're talking about is that you put a little bit in and you get a whole bunch out, no, there's not. That's not the point. That's just a power plant. You burn up coal to make electricity, and hopefully you get more electricity out than you have to burn coal to make. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a finite beginning place where you don't have to add anything new to it, and energy is still wrought or beget.
You don't.
That's what we know as Coldplay anyway.
But we are adding something new to it. We're adding the RNA drops.
Didn't say new. We said consistently. Bob said that that he called cold fusion when you add something consistently or continuously, and you get more out than you put in. And we say no.
Cold fusion is you just started up with something extra, and then it goes on its own, I thought.
Well, then please explain that to Bob so he'll get it. That's exactly correct.
You just used the energy at the beginning to start up.
But it's not
and
even
it becomes
really
perpetual.
Energy. Not even really energy.
It becomes perpetual.
Hmm.
It is perpetual. It doesn't become perpetual. It is perpetual. It's just put into a box in such a way that it's harnessed.
Well, people thought that...
Well, they're fucked. So
Pons and Fleischmann, didn't they measure more coming out?
Mm-hmm.
No, they were getting
something. They were putting in. They were putting in, and it was ridiculous. If Pons and Fleischmann had anything to say about it, you'd have one.
Have what?
Cold fusion.
But they don't have anything to say about it?
They don't have any cold fusion.
What?
He's hearing you're munching.
Right. So,
the way we can talk about it is the perpetual energy or perpetual motion.
No, relate that to the statement that new information, a blueprint, is reminded.
Mm-hmm.
Relate it to that.
Well, I'd like to find out a little more about the creation of RNA by the eye cell.
Okay. Very good. Information. Good information, bad information, positive information, negative information is information.
Right? Uh-huh.
No way, no plus or minus. It just is. Okay?
But what is information?
Okay. To inform. Look it up. That'll be a good place to start because we're talking about information all the time. Describe. Look up information and see what we got.
Mm-hmm. Information. The communication or reception of knowledge or intelligence. Knowledge obtained from investigation, study, or instruction.
Was that Miriam?
You're muted. The attribute inherent in and communicated by one or two or more alternative sequences or arrangements of something.
DNA.
That's interesting.
The attribute.
And, you know, they. If you're going to talk, you have to unmute. Yeah. And the example they give of this inherent communicated by one or two or more alternative sequences or arrangements of something, bracket, as nucleotides in DNA or binary digits in a computer program, bracket, that produce specific results.
You've heard that from us more than twice, haven't you, darling?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What has he heard?
About creating DNA information, new information. Okay, so there's that.
And even bringing it back to the computer world or the chip body's application.
Right. So you started to say and describe. My question was to. I wanted more information on how the eye cell makes RNA that is used in the body. Then you went into good information, bad information. We got the definition. Now where do we go?
Okay. So the eye cell contained in RNA drops gives a complete, unabridged amount of information. Now you know what the information means to the meat sack body cells that are already in the body.
Uh-huh.
And it has varying degrees, two or more conduits of flow of communication. So at two or more levels, it is embraced by the actual cell, affecting the DNA, which changes the cells, what the cell completes to, or the ascension of that regular cell to a perfect cell. And that's done vis-a-vis chromosome 14.
I still don't get how the eye cell contains RNA. I'm just wondering where that comes from.
Just take a slide and look at it and test it.
Hmm.
And it'll test out as RNA.
Test out what, Carolyn?
If you look at the RNA under the microscope, you'll see RNA.
Yeah, but that's because it's RNA.
But it still doesn't tell us where it comes from, how, you know...
what's it got to do with eye cells?
When it's created in the... What are the building blocks for it that we're giving it? Let's look up RNA.
The shoe bread recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Manna.
So RNA, ribonucleic acid, one of the three major macromolecules, along with DNA and proteins, made of long chains of components called nucleotides. Each nucleotide consists of a nucleobase, sometimes called a nitrogenous base,
a
ribose sugar, and a phosphate group.
There's your super sugar.
The ribose sugar, okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
And nitrogen, there's nitrogen going into all that stuff too. Alrighty.
Yeah.
And the phosphate, we had the phosphorus drops.
That's right. And what's so hysterical is you thought you were adding it as a preservative.
No, I didn't. I didn't think that.
But it used for that though, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. I guess. I just thought.
Well, you didn't want alcohol.
You said it was good. I thought you just said it was good for it for some reason. I believe you.
No. We said we were looking for something that would keep it as a. You couldn't use alcohol as something to make it safe as far as a preservative, and phosphorus was the clear choice.
Mm-hmm. So the sugar ribose in. Our RNA is the selenose.
Absolutely.
The chemical structure of RNA is very similar to DNA with two differences. The RNA contains a sugar ribose, while DNA contains a slightly different sugar deoxy. the deoxyribose. So are we affecting the DNA's sugar?
Yes.
Mm.
That's specifically for myself.
So our selenose is affecting both the RNA sugar and the DNA sugar.
Well, no, it is RNA sugar.
So our selenose is the new RNA sugar and the new DNA sugar.
No, it affects the new DNA sugar completely.
It affects the DNA sugar. So selenose is the new RNA sugar, and then the new RNA...
That new RNA sugar affects the DNA and changes the type of sugar. Even the definition that you're saying DNA is now, it even changes that sugar to a new sugar. And that's what's already happening. It's already happening. They're already having much travail over this, Carolyn. Lots of folks have been going to the doctors and having their blood drawn and poking and looking around. And it's starting to be quite extraneous. They're having lots of very strange anomalies in those in those phlebotomists' world.
Where do phlebotomists go?
Blood taker. So the
So that's also a vampire then, right?
And the RNA nucleobase, your cell, how's that obtained in this whole rigmarole?
Well, if you look at the D-L-methionine, that'll be a good clue.
So, Carolyn, I'm getting from this that the basic substance of life is sugar.
Unmute yourself, Bob. You're being silly.
Oh, he actually did then.
No, I wasn't. What? You thought I was? But he heard me.
He was leaning close to me.
Hey, Carolyn.
Oh, I see.
I'm getting from this that the basic substance of life is sugar.
Mm.
When you create life, you create sugar, sweetness. So you got one sugar affecting another kind of sugar. I am. What do you make of that statement? The basic substance of life is a sugar.
Well, sugar is energy. Energy is life.
Yeah, there you go. Energy is life, Carolyn. Energy is sugar is energy.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call the discharge between two poles on the subatomic level? That energy.
Kinetic energy.
That's kinetic energy. What other kind of energy would there be?
It would still be kinetic. It'd have to be kinetic.
Okay, so let's just leave it there. Kinetic, and so it's energy, but you want to call it kinetic energy. So
because it'll feed to itself. That's the point.
It'll feed to itself?
Yeah. Kinetic energy, once you start it in motion, it'll continue in motion.
Is that the perpetual energy we were talking about? Perpetual motion?
You had a steep enough hill, it is, yeah.
Steep enough, it would keep going if the thing went downhill, you mean?
Yes.
It would go faster forever. It kept going down.
And it might even roll up the next hill if it was going fast enough, you see.
Right. Now, Carolyn, so back, you're looking at uracil. That's it's the thing that makes everything an RNA.
That's good for pimples, too.
Clearasil, you nut. You nut. An actual nut in our midst.
So, Carolyn, yeah, we have an
Well, sometimes you feel like a nut, and sometimes you don't.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing, Carolyn? We're trying to find uracil.
I'm comparing methionine and uracil.
Good.
As what?
With each other.
As substances.
That's the answer to the
NH.
What'd you say I am?
As the answer to the question.
Yeah, if we could remember the question. What are you seeing, Carol?
Yeah, 42.
What do you
well,
see?
There's two NHs and one O.
Two O's. There's an O, O, O. Right?
Mm-hmm. So is your shill a breakdown product of methionine?
And
a breakdown. Chlorine?
Taurine.
A breakdown, that means a subset of taurine, Carol?
Mm.
No, he said taurine, not methyl.
Elemental derivative, maybe.
Well, what is taurine? Is that got something to do with...
It's another amino acid.
So methionine is not what you thought it would be there.
Yeah, I thought you said methionine.
We D-L-methionine, we did.
When did they say it, Carol?
So, but I asked if you're still a breakdown product of methionine or related to methionine in some way.
We said yes, and also taurine.
Oh,
oh
both.
You said yes. Oh, okay.
See,
okay.
Good to, he doesn't say yes, but
you miss
have to
that.
Be honest, he doesn't.
Mm.
You got to be careful with him.
Mm.
Keep squeezing it.
Well, if you get a better non-physical, you wouldn't have all these troubles, Bob.
Yeah, wait, no, we're happy with you. We might, if we turned you in, we might get something worse. So we'll go with you. You're in. You've
That's
got tenure.
True, yes. We'll take, yeah, we'll. I don't like my non-physical, but I'm afraid of what I'll get if I shoot it off.
Yeah, it's like a marriage.
Could be worse, right?
It's like a marriage, you know, you don't ditch what you have. It could go worse.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's like at the restaurant, you got a real pretty waitress, and she wants to know if you want a to-go sack, and he says, no, I've got leftovers at home I can eat. I'd rather stay here and play with you.
I missed the word go sack. What's that?
Doggy bag.
Do you want to go
sack?
So can we redo the joke?
Bag.
The waitress asked the guy if he wants a doggy bag.
Yeah. And he says, no, honey, I have leftovers at home I can eat. I'd rather stay here and play with you. He was referring to his wife, his leftovers. He was enjoying the waitress's company more than his leftovers.
Oh, I see. I have leftovers home, so I enjoy playing with you. Okay, so, Carol, let's get back to the defining thing, Carol. We're just starting to get somewhere.
Where?
So our cellulose is the new RNA sugar. What makes it new? The I-cell. Is the I-cell a sugar?
No.
Right, Carol? So the eye cell is a factor, and it's not a sugar. What is it?
It's a cell.
See, describe some factors about the eye cell ion that show it's not a sugar.
It's not a calorie.
Sugars are calories. So it's not a calorie. Describe what it is.
An independent cell that sustains H197.
And what is this? Describe what the independent cell is made up of.
Eyes.
Eyes, yeah. Nothing else?
Nothing else.
Eyes, EYES.
No, capital, little I.
I shall. Okay, what is this little I? The substance that is the essence of a human? The essence
it's
of words?
It's what you spy.
What you spy.
I spy with my little
eye. Okay, good. So, Ian, why don't you say what it is?
We did.
Describe, you said it's an I cell. Can you say what other words it could be?
You've got working definitions. You have patents over it. Read your damn patent.
Yeah, we're just now defining, Carol, and stuff we patent. We don't even know what
mm-hmm,
we patent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's go back, Carol. Remove that. Let's go back to what we were, our definitions. Because he's not going to say what the eye cell is.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? What electrons?
Come on, Bob.
What are the electrons made?
What
are the constituents? Describe the constituents of
the
eye cell.
I have the full elemental contingency for all the universe. Now, how do I feel? Well, how do you feel? I don't know how I feel. Okay. Then
I'm not asking
knowing
that.
Everything,
I'm saying describe the constituents of the I cell, I guess, at the start at the subatomic level.
The ionosphere.
Okay. The ionosphere is the subatomic constituents of the I cell. Now we would, I guess you go to a denser level. Is that the word? Denser? To a bigger or thicker level. What are the constituents above the ionosphere? The ionosphere being the basement. Describe the level above the ionosphere in the I cell.
The troposphere.
Okay, you're going to get into those nine levels that we did the other day?
You'd like.
No.
What's the subatomic?
Ionosphere.
Oh, okay.
Now he's saying the troposphere. You, in your notes, you would have had that listed, those when mm-hmm. we did the spheres. So it's an external environment? See, Carol, you know he has the angel.
Until it's internal.
Yeah, look at this, Carol. Get the angel diagram. He's saying that that's a perfect cell.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no first seven rings are inner cell, and the outer seven rings are vibratory frequency.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing's a cell.
Mm-hmm.
Or, that's if we make the first seven rings category the whole thing. You can make the last seven rings, outer seven rings, the whole thing, and it's a vibration or
mm-hmm.
frequency, right?
Mm-hmm.
What he just said, the ionosphere, that's outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're made, you make the cell, the I cell made up of what's outside of us,
mm-hmm.
the frequency of vibration. Or you can make it what's inside us.
Mm-hmm.
You get the flipping back and forth there?
Mm-hmm.
If there's a vacuum, it will. But that which is outside of you will be pulled inside of you.
If there is a vacuum, now where would the vacuum be? Describe the position of the vacuum.
The shifting of the shifter change of your hydration, amino acids, lipid, and a beer back of magnesium.
Yeah, the shifting of that. Is an image of the shifting the gyroscope?
The answer is yes, but not the way you know it.
Right, but the shifting about that we discussed with Worcester of the gyroscope.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we were going to say. If you could only get it the way David was laying it out, hell yeah.
Yeah, the shifting, you know, the gyroscope's got like three rings that are going around like that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the amino acids, and what was the first thing he said? The lipids.
Mm-hmm.
And what the H197, what was the first words? It's sort of blurred with the amino acids. The first word is
electrolytes,
said,
maybe?
No. Ian, could you describe the constituents of the I-cell again? That list had amino acids. I don't know if it had lipids in there.
And
then they were all shifting. What was the hydrogen part?
The sugar.
I don't think you said hydrogen and sugar. Do you remember what you said? Let's start over again.
Yes, Bob. The first part. Carbon. See.
No, he never said carbon.
122.
You never. No. You didn't say carbon.
Carolyn most certainly did.
Okay. I'm going back to the words you said 2 minutes ago. I said describe the constituents of the I cell, and you said something.
The filter fish.
No, you said something, and then you said amino acids. And then you said another thing, and a fourth thing. And I said, and then you said they're shifting. You said the shifting of these things. And then I said, is that shifting like a gyroscope? I'd like to go back to the three or four things you laid out in that paragraph or sentence. What was the word that was said before amino acids?
It's recorded.
Yeah. We can't find this. They're very long. So why wouldn't you repeat it? Because then you just
get it, and we tell you, and we tell you again, you won't get it, and if you're not going
to
get
it. We're getting it. We have to wait to see if it's a serious thing you're saying, and you happen to say something.
Well, then you've got to listen to the recording and judge that.
Hey, Carolyn, so you whatever he listed, amino acids, something else, it's the shifting among them.
Mm-hmm.
That is the what? What is, why does the interplay? It's like tactility. We're talking about what I call tactility. The the ionosphere.
Think about that, if you think about that just a little bit, it would give a meaningful, workable word of interplay within the cellular level, because you have people who are engaging and embracing in this ascension process, okay? Some are ascending, don't feel a thing. Some are ascending, and it's radical. Some are noticing their bodies changing bits and pieces, and some pretty graphic, like the headache or the sore throat or the runny nose or a runny butt or whatever they run. They find it, depending on where they are, they find it as an experience based on what they want it to be. If they think they have to go through a headache to ascend, then they will.
Yeah, why are you going into the subjective effects when we're judged?
You brought up tactility and we brought up interplay.
Okay, so the same thing to you? It's interplay, tactility?
As it applies to people's reference of subjective outcomes, yes.
Yeah, interplay is applied to tactility if it's related to the subjective outcomes.
Tactility, the way you mean it. I mean, we like your definition of tactility. We're not saying that. It's straight up. You're all right. Nobody else knows what the hell they're talking about, but you do.
Well, what it is, Carol, essentially there's shifting going on. It's like Dave's metaphor, story of first is blue, then there's green, then there's red, and then Rye gets upset and stops the red, green, or blue, right? You know, these waves of color.
Mm-hmm.
Experience is experience.
Mm-hmm.
These descriptions get in the way.
Mm.
These descriptions are trying to describe the raw experience.
Mm-hmm.
So the shifting, we say, what is the interplay? You're learning amino acids in these terms and hydrogen for a bunch of little people who require those words.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's trying to either shut them the fuck up by laying it out or putting it into a position where they don't have so many questions, and that's all right.
And just do it?
Right.
Okay, so we're talking about hydrogen. So let's go back to your notes on the ice-cell, Carol. We start off the ionosphere. Then you went up to the troposphere, whatever it was. There's some other word. Now, that's our geography ion, right? Our geography is these nine spheres, correct?
The geography of the mystery landscape.
Yeah, this geography. Are you saying that can become that is inside of us, too?
It is.
So the core, hey Carolyn, a chromosome 14 could be a mountain.
How so?
There's a mountain out there, but it could also be inside of you. If you want to put great significance on that mountain,
mm-hmm.
And then you put great significance on chromosome 14. The chromosome 14 is the ionosphere, and the troposphere, and the mountains, and the skies, and the grasses, and the rivers inside you.
The filter fish.
And the gefilte fish is inside you, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at the world, if I don't determine whether it's outside me or inside me, that's a good beginning point.
Mm-hmm.
Correct, Ian? I look at the world, see the houses and the streets, and I might as well say I'm inside my bloodstream. If I want to create an image of being inside myself, I'm as much inside my bloodstream as I am walking down the street. Correct, Ion?
if you get a bit McLuhan-esque, you can get there, because because then what you're looking at and seeing is you're not seeing, it's seeing you.
Yeah, that's right. You're what you look at is not real.
Correct. But if you use that as a shifted position to validate where you're going, okay, fine.
That's if you need to validate where you're going.
Well, but it's sort of it might help you from walking through falling off a cliff into the ocean.
What would? The validation of where you are.
Yeah.
So then you have to okay, so that means there is something outside yourself. That means
there is something outside of yourself. No,
yeah, because this falling off, could that happen inside oneself?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, when you fall off, you could fall off, but you don't. It doesn't have to be outside. Inside, outside.
Right. People talk about it with their addictions. They fell off the wagon. There's a falling off.
Yeah. So, so primitive people had no discrimination. And the primitive people were very close.
They had no trouble.
Yeah, because they were.
Trouble.
Yeah, because they were ascended. Correct? They were ascended.
Yes.
They were in the ascended position. Okay, Ken, can we look at your notes again? We're going to try to pin down what an eye cell is, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
But the eye cell is a noun, and the shifting is what's more important. The shifting among objects,
mm-hmm.
among substances, is the key that Ion's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but you got to get the object of the you got to figure out the predicate before you can start.
That's the object. The predicate is
right.
The object. It's shifting around, so you create a predicate, Carolyn. You triangulate and get an object.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But just give Bob a working definition of an eye cell, Carolyn.
Well, we could go to the patent, Bob. Want to go to the patent?
Okay, let's see what we got there.
We've done this once or twice.
Well, do it again. That's Bob's talent. Very good at doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find her patent.
Well, call the patent office.
Is the eye cell... The eye cell is bigger than the ionosphere. The ionosphere makes up... The eye cell is the ionosphere.
No.
The eye cell is on the level of the constituents of the ionosphere. What is the ionosphere made up of? Ions. What are they? Charges?
The space between matter and antimatter.
Okay, this interval space. Whereas the electron, proton, neutron, the ions are the shifting core interplay tactility.
No, they are not. They're the space between those. They're the field
right, but that
hold those in place. They're not.
There's a space that holds those things in place.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's the medium. That's what it's the container, but it's a nothing space to do that. It uses its own nothing.
It's not a nothing space. It is not a nothing.
Oh, what
space.
Is it made up of? What are the constituents of it then?
The placeholder is not a nothingness. It's a placeholder.
Yeah. What's it made up of? The placeholder. Space. What is the space made up of?
Space.
And what is it made up of? What are the constituents? Describe the constituents of space.
Matter and antimatter.
Describe the constituents of matter.
Unseen.
Unseen?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Describe the constituents of antimatter.
Seen.
Antimatter is seen. We have something new here.
Don't worry. It'll pass in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. Describe the constituents of thought.
There is no constituents of thought.
Aha. Describe the reason there isn't any.
Because it's a false premise. Y'all keep thinking it's thought, and it's thinking thought doesn't think.
But there is antimatter, which is what is not, which is what is seen, and matter is what
is
not seen.
Thought. So thought would be matter, because it seems to matter if you think about it long enough.
Right. Okay, Carolyn, you want to show me something? Eye cells occur in nature as do naturally occurring yeast spores, which are ambient and not specific to a particular environment, have an effect on other organisms. It's moving about, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Eye cells have appeared inadvertently throughout man's existence, but remain inconsistently identified until now. If you think of the mystery landscape as some kind of movement ion, an unseen movement, then the eye cells are the mystery landscape constituents, defined
okay.
as unseen movement.
Okay. Yeah. That's
yeah. And I imagine, Carolyn, familiar. Unseen movement is tactility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my peculiar meaning
mm-hmm.
with the word tactility. No one else would agree with it, or they think it's touch or different. Couldn't
well,
agree.
You could agree them. You could make them agree. Like if you boil water, you're just.
No, I want to say something. I just had a good thought, and I can forget.
Oh, sorry.
This image of tactility that I've been working with for 40 years, 30 years, Carolyn,
mm-hmm.
that is the image of ion.
Mm-hmm.
I've been imaging the eye cell for all these years. Would you
mm-hmm.
agree with that, Ion? And that this image of tactility that I have can be, as I understand it, as I've talked to you about it, can be matched on with the description of how the eye cell moves about ambiently, right,
okay.
in the realm of unseen. That image that I've been meditating on may have helped evoke Ion.
Well, likely not.
Why not? I've been thinking the right thing.
Because you said meditate.
I've been correct.
Because you said meditate.
I've been mediating the correct image for a long time.
Well, good. Congratulations. So you've just substantiated thought. Whoopee.
Right, yeah. Thought is an image?
Apparently.
Ah, okay. But it's a shifting image. It's a thought that it's an image of tactility is that it's constantly shifting.
Well, great, Bob, but just because you're adding another dynamic doesn't make it any more superfluously important.
No, it's the image of tactility that I use that's constantly shifting, which
okay.
we will...
Then give us a working definition. You're okay. We'll give it to you.
Right, and I'm saying that image I've had is what you're describing the mystery landscape as.
Thanks, Palmer. Now give us a working definition, you, Bob, of thought.
Oh, you can't describe thought. Thought
yeah,
is
then,
the...
Then,
you know what thought
then,
is?
Then,
it's
then,
the thought about then. That process. Thought is the thought.
Good. Well, see, there you go. That's why we say it's a nebulous fool's errand to engage it at all, and yet you want the aspects of it described thoroughly.
Well,
that,
I'm thinking about it.
What's ridiculous?
I know. No, but all your other definitions are just as ridiculous because everything said by word is thought. Now, you say words
so
are not thought.
Words
so where's the content?
Thought.
I don't want to get too, this is a whole thing about what's the content of thought.
We'll give you your point. See, we'll go with your point.
Yeah, and my point, I don't know which point we're referring to, but the point I'm asking you to comment on is that my meditation on the mysterious landscape of movement and shifting ambiently, knowing that calling it tactility, that evoked,